Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com.
Oh, we give thanks and praise to you, O Lord, the one who has given us your word. Lord, that in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Lord, that the word became flesh, to be able to dwell amongst us, that we might see his glory, full of grace and truth. Lord, you have spoken in the days of old through prophets, but then you came forth and sent your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray as we turn in these pages of Scripture that we would behold your glory. We would see of your grace and splendor. Lord, we would understand who you are, but also, Lord, who we are. That you would help us to be able to number our days. Pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior's name. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from Psalm 90. Psalm 90. This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Please take heed how you hear. A prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or a watch in the night. You sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. We are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. And all the days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O long, Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad in all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord, our God, be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord will stand forever. Your life is but two numbers and a dash. Your life is merely the dash in between those two numbers. Now, in reality, some of us might get a longer dash, a longer period of time between those two dates. Compared to others, our dash might be short. That in the end, many lives are summed up in four words placed on a tombstone. Maybe some of their accomplishments that they have done. But the truth is that everybody gets a dash. Everybody gets a period of time. That the dash does not show favoritism to another. There's no bigotry towards the dash. That the men and the women get a dash. Everyone who has ever lived gets a dash. Everyone really gets the same sized line on a tombstone. Each of us get 168 hours every week, 24 hours in a day. How should we spend them? What shall we do with this dash we have been given? And Psalm 90 speaks of God's eternity in contrast with our frailty and our feeble moments of our life. Now, as we look at Psalm 90 briefly, it is a psalm of perspective, a psalm in which we should ponder often. We should think about this psalm every day. Richard Baxter said that a Christian should ponder heaven every moment of the day. Take a walk amongst the tombstones. He would think of heaven for about 30 minutes every day. This psalm of perspective helps us to be able to live each of these moments, to make the most of that dash in which we have given. How shall we live on this earth, on the third rock from the sun? Psalm 90 is a psalm which written by Moses. Therefore, it's said to be the oldest psalm that we have. But even if you think of this psalm and how old it is, it still pales in significance compared to what this psalm speaks of, or more importantly, who this psalm speaks of. The first thing that we see in this psalm is the eternality of God. The eternality of God. But Psalm 90 first speaks of God, and in contrast to time, verse 2 says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed the earth into the world, from everlasting to everlasting you are God." This is a hard thing for us to be able to wrap our heads around, to be able to fathom. Even the scriptures begin with "in the beginning," that God created the heavens and the earth. But Moses says here, before even the mountains were brought forth, before you had even formed the earth, you were from everlasting to everlasting. Eternity past to eternity future. That you are unchanging, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or as Malachi says, the Lord does not change. And Moses contrasts God's eternality with moments in time, with periods of time. And he explains that 1,000 years is but like yesterday to God. That it is merely just a watch in the night. It's a period about 4 hours. It is a hard thing for us to be able to wrap our heads around with our life that has a start date and a finish date, a dash in the middle. There is no dates either side of God. It is just one line. Peter explains in 2 Peter chapter 3, "Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years and 1,000 years as of one day." When we contrast God to time, there's no aspect of time in which we can contrast God to. It is hard for us to be able to fathom merely just days, weeks, age, to think of even this building, 1899, 123 years old. That seems like a long time for us. The people who have built it have passed. But even with buildings, you can go and find an older building somewhere. To England to see the castles, cathedrals, even go to other countries to find those that have been around for centuries. But even this psalm, in contrast to centuries, the psalm speaks of a millennia, which is just but like a moment to God. That this 1,000 years is like a night for God. 1,000 years is but just like a dream. the contrast in God to time, then the contrast is that of man. God is eternal, but then secondly, we see that the fleetingness of man. The contrast is so striking that God is before the mountains from everlasting to everlasting, that God's 1,000 years is just like a dream, but just like a moment. But the opposite, that for man it is short, that the life of man is frail, fleeting, and fading. God is contrasted with 1,000 years, with mountains. But man is but just for a moment. Moses explains that man is like dust. A sigh. Soon gone. And here you see the contrast with God to man. Now you could spend more time on this, but that Moses explains that the shortness of life comes from God's anger, His wrath. That God is a God who fulfills His promise. Now, we normally think of a promise as a positive thing, something good. And God fulfills His promise. He promised Adam in the garden, "The tree of the knowledge of good and of evil you shall not eat, but the day of you eat of it, you shall surely die." That's a promise of God. That once that promise comes, every person has that end of a dash. That under that wrath, that the wages of this sin is death. But what are we to do with this? What are we to do with this fact of God is eternal, but we are fleeting, fading, a sigh? Are we to sit in our sorrow of what we do not have? Are we to think and realize that life is pointless? Are we to sit and consider those grains of sand which have flowed through our hourglass of life? And to complain that others have more sand left, or they had more joy while their sand passed through? This is not just a psalm which teaches us of God's eternality and the frailty or fleetingness of man, but it's also a psalm which helps us to understand how then we are to live, what we are to do, that we are to make our sigh count, make our dash count. That's what we'll focus the rest of our time together. Then in verse 12, Moses writes, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." Teach us to be able to number our days, to be able to understand that there is sand left in the hourglass. We don't know how many days or bits, grains of sand we have left. But he says, teach us to be able to number them, to be able to make them count. Let us not live this life in the folly of those of the world, which do not consider the grains of sand. They never even ponder that there is a finish line to be able to reach. Who never even think that their life will end, that their sigh will cease, that we will return to dust. But it is the wise man who understands the days, who understands not only our days are short, but we are to live out these days to be able to glorify God. So let me leave you with four things that Moses tells us how we are to live and walk in this wisdom to be able to number our days. First thing that we are to do is that we, that God would satisfy us in verse 14. That God would be all that we have and seek. It is the world who says that our happiness is somewhere else. Our happiness is to be found somewhere else. whatever that might look like. Money in a bank. Friends around the table. A job. A following. An impact. A purpose. Pleasure. Health. Whatever it might be, that is where your true happiness will be found. But the wise man says that our days are short and our focus is on God, that we are satisfied in Him, that we receive and rest in Him, not in all what the world has to be able to offer, that we would rejoice in God, not only that we would be satisfied within ourselves, but that would flow forth, that we would rejoice to be able to sing forth those praises of what God has done, that others would be able to see that we are satisfied by God. Not playing the rat race that others seek to be able to do. The second thing that we see is that God would make us glad in verse 15. That those who understand that our days are short understands eternity is long. That we would understand those days that we have in those grains of sand that pass through the hourglass. Some of those days are days of affliction. Some of those days are where we see much evil around us. But the wise man walks understanding that those days are short. That eternity is long. That we would see this gladness. That we'd see much more gladness than we see sorrow. That there would be sorrow in the night, but joy comes in the morning. That the dash is short. And this can be a depressing thing to think about. It's definitely depressing for all that seek to be able to make this world our home. To be able to find that true happiness here. Because even if you were to find it, it would but just be for a short time. But to those who know that this dash is short, that eternity is to come, there is great joy knowing that affliction is but just for a night, that there's joy to come in the morning, that there is a time when there is no more tears, no more sickness, no more sorrow, that evil will cease. A third way that we are to number our days that we might be able to walk as the wise man is that God would show us His works in verse 16. That in these short days in which we live, that dash between the dates, we see many great things. That we would behold the wonderful works of our magnificent God. That He is still working. That we would see this glorious power. That we would not be men and women walking down with their head towards the dirt, taking each step just waiting for that day to come. We would look up and see God's magnificent grace upon us, undeserving of all of it. That we would see His mighty hand at work through all creation, but also through redemption as well. But not only that we only would behold this glory. The wise man understands that it's not only for us, but our children will see His glory as well. That it would be generations to come that walk as the wise man, that they would be able to see His power at work as well. That we see the covenant promises flow through the family. That the blessings would be able to be passed down. Let this be our prayer. Not that just our children and our grandchildren would merely just be able to know the Bible, to be able to quote scriptures or to be able to color in pictures of Noah's Ark, but they would know the power of God, to be able to see how He has provided throughout all generations, how He has made a way through his sons, his son, that we might be able to be called sons. Let this be our prayer. And finally, that God would have his favor upon us. That we would pray that that gladness will come. But also that God would use us and our lives. That he would use those grains of sand in which we have left in our hourglass. That the days, whatever they may be, long or short, hard or joyful, that he would use them for his glory. That he would establish the work of his hands through us. That our dash might have a purpose as God uses us. As David writes in Psalm 27, "One thing I have asked the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." What a glorious psalm that we have before us this evening. A psalm of perspective. To be able to show how eternal God is and how frail and fleeting and fading the life of man is, but yet to have a purpose in that dash. Now, this psalm is actually one of the psalms that Isaac Watts based one of his hymns on. A hymn that we know as, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past." But actually comes from a longer hymn, which Isaac Watts entitled, "Man Frail and God Eternal." Isaac Watts actually wrote 5 hymns on Psalm 90. One is a 3-part hymns where he breaks it up into 3 and has 3 separate hymns and then other hymns there. And one of these hymns, one of the 3-part hymns, he entitled, "Breathing After Heaven," in which Isaac Watts writes, "Return, O God of love, return. Earth is a tiresome place. How long shall we thy children mourn our absence from thy face? Let heaven succeed our painful years. Let sin and sorrow cease in proportion to our tears. So make our joys increase. Thy wonders to thy servants show. Make thy own work complete. And shall our souls thy glory know and own thy love was great. Then shall we shine before thy throne in all thy beauty, Lord, and the poor service we have done meet a divine reward." What are you going to do with your dash? Those grains of sand left in the hourglass. As Isaac Watts said, "The poor service we have done meet a divine reward." Let us pray that our dash may be worthwhile, that our dash may count, that our dash, as we learn to be able to number our days, that we may be able to walk with that heart of wisdom to be able to accomplish these things, that our poor service might be established to the work of the Lord's hands. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give thanks unto you and praise your glorious name. Lord, let us think and ponder how you are eternal, everlasting to everlasting, and how we, Lord, are frail, like dust, like a sigh. Lord, we pray that as we learn to be able to number our days, you'd help us to be able to walk in your ways as a wise man who numbers the shortness of our days, the length of eternity, that you would be able to use our dash for your purposes and your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this sermon from Seven Springs Presbyterian Church. If you want to learn more about us, please find us on Facebook or visit us at sevenspringspresbyterian.com. Seven Springs Presbyterian Church began in 1874 and is a congregation of the Presbyterian Church in America located in Glade Spring, Virginia. Please join us for worship on Sunday at 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for His glory and His gospel.